And then they rebelled in the 13th year, and then the devil's tail, the Bible said, drew one third of the angels of heaven. So 13 just ain't a good number, but today is October the 13th. We're here in the Lord's house. It rained last Sunday. It's cold this Sunday. But praise God, God's still on the throne. My name's still in the book. Sand on the blood. Glory to God, I'm a citizen of that country. And I'm so happy to know, praise God, I don't have to spend eternity in hell.
Is it warm enough up there?
It's fine with me. I'll run hot anyway. But no one has to spend eternity in hell. Jesus, He made the way for all, if they so desire. And I want to put that in those terms, that they can come live with Him in heaven.
Amen.
We finished up last Sunday. We stopped right there at the end of verse 19. I do want to go back and reread these verses real quick. Starting in verse 16. These six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look. First thing I think about is gay pride.
Yeah.
Gay pride march. And you know, that's the first thing God hates is pride. And proud look, number one on the list. Lying tongue. It's the first thing I think of as politicians today. Hands that shed innocent blood. I think about abortions and Planned Parenthood today. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And you know, the carnal minds at enmity with God. It's constantly contradicting the simple plan of God for lost humanity and even for saved children of God. That carnal mind. I've seen Christians that were so carnally minded that they just couldn't grow. They never could take root. They never could amount to nothing because they couldn't let go of the world's wisdom for the wisdom of God. But feet that be swift and running to mischief. People today, the Bible says mischief bind up the heart of the child, but the rod of correction drive it far from him. They don't discipline today. I love my mom and dad for disciplining me more than anything they've done for me. A false witness that speaketh lies. We're just talking about some of these politicians. They can't even read it, much less tell the truth. They can't even read it. They just put words in that ain't there. But a false witness that speaketh lies. Oh my, they've been caught some of them lies here lately.
Yeah.
He that soweth discord among brethren. You know, the Lord, He loved the church, gave Himself for it.
Yeah.
He said, on this rock, I'll build my church. It belongs to Him. He purchased it with His own blood. And He wants the church to be in unity. Let me read this verse right here with that thought in mind. I thought about this. I'm so glad for the help of God. Y'all just don't know how dumb I am. And I hope to God that God doesn't bring it out. But he that soweth discord among brethren. I'm really not very smart at all. But God's able to use, you know, the things. Bible says you see your calling, not many mighty, not many noble. God's used the common things, you know, to confound the mighty.
Yeah.
I'm just a common man with an uncommon salvation. But in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about till we all come in the unity of the faith in verse 13. And God has a desire for His church. Let's go on up there. Verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, that's verse 12 of Ephesians 4, the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I'm part of the body of Christ, and if you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. And I've been in a lot of churches that even though there were elderly people there, they hadn't grown in the Lord. And as far as being children of God, they hadn't matured. And He says, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. They did not only know what they believed, they couldn't tell you really give an answer of what they believed. They couldn't tell you how to be saved. If they come upon a wreck and someone in there was dying, said, "Help me, I don't want to die, lost, go to hell." They couldn't even tell them the gospel message.
Right.
But it says, not only are they carried about with every wind of doctrine, but notice, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. A lot of that's going on in our schools, in our government, in our churches. You better know what you believe in this day and time. I tell you what, I am glad I do know my Bible, but you better know what you believe.
Yeah.
And if you do know what you believe, speak the truth in love, and may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And God doesn't want discord. He wants unity. He doesn't want weakness. He wants strength. He doesn't want children. He wants adults. Let me go again. I'm just trying to follow the Lord here.
Blessing God.
In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul here, I think Paul wrote Hebrews, and I certainly ain't going to get no debate over that. He's my pastor.
No.
We both think Paul wrote it. But anyway, he says, "Of whom I have many things to say." That's a common saying that Paul said a lot, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Dull of hearing just means that you've heard it and you ain't interested in hearing it again. But actually, repetition is what we do need. Jesus is really pretty much repeated about everything that He said and where He went. But He said, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become," I'm in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "have need of one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." It's good to know your Bible. There's a devil down here trying to talk you out of your Bible, and he tries to contradict everything that God says. He's pretty good at it. But he that soweth discord among the brethren, God hates that.
Yeah.
He wants precept upon precept. He wants line upon line. He wants preachers to preach His Word.
Yeah.
He wants teachers to teach His Word. You know, a lot of songs have a lot of Bible in them. But we need that Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "Men ought not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God." We need that Word. But that discord is deceiving. It's the opposite of what God said. Discord is a division, deception, denying. Discord, that's something God hates. All right, let's get our lesson there. Verse 20, that's our first lesson today. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. "My son," I want to say this real quick. Proverbs was written by Solomon.
Yeah.
Solomon the Lord asked Solomon, "What will you have me give you?" Solomon could ask for anything he wanted, and he's just a young boy. And he said, "Wisdom, that I might have the wisdom to lead your people."
Yeah.
And God was so impressed or so thankful that He asked that question. I mean, He could have asked for riches, long life. He could have asked for domination over His enemies. And He said that I might have wisdom to be able to lead your people in and out and to discern. And I tell you what, God was greatly honored in that request. And God was also glad to give it to him.
Oh, yeah.
And not only did God give him his request, but He also gave him great riches. And He gave him advantage over his enemies. But Solomon wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
Those three books were written by a man that the Bible said he was wiser than any man in the earth. He was exceptional when it came to wisdom. So when we're teaching out of Proverbs, keep this in mind, The whole goal of Proverbs is to gain wisdom. My son, Solomon's given wisdom. Keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now in this day and time, we've come a long ways from that. Children don't seek the counsel of their father or mother. They probably go to Google, or they probably go to their peers, or maybe even worse. But they'll go anywhere. I have to admit, when I was growing up, I thought my mom and dad were dumb in a box of rocks. And when I got older, I wished I'd paid more attention to them, because I realized they were more smarter than I gave them credit for, and I realized I should have listened. But this is wisdom Solomon's given out, and Solomon gives out this wisdom. He said, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. He said, bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. You know, the generation before us, they're gone. They took a lot of wisdom to the grave.
Yeah.
And if we'd had any sense at all, we'd have asked for that wisdom, and that torch would have got passed to our generation.
That's right.
But wisdom, the Bible said, it cries out from the grave. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Proverbs, in the streets. Let's see here. Wisdom crieth out. Wisdom crieth without. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 20. She heareth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She heareth her words saying. And wisdom is something today that's, I would like to say, wisdom is something today that's rejected. People think they already know more than they need to know. They're not interested in learning anything. And Solomon's advice here is, you better listen while you can. And he said, you're going to need it. You're going to need it there in verse 22. He said, you're going to need it to go in the right direction. You're going to need it when you sleep to have the peace to be able to sleep. You're going to need it, that it'll even help you while you sleep, and when you awake, it will talk with you. That verse is kind of over my head, but it's about wisdom from the mother and the father that they try to give to their children, and it's shunned. And you know what? The children just aren't interested. One thing God said about Abraham, that he would teach. He said this about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. He said, talking about Abraham, shall come a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he's spoken of him. And Abraham passed the torch. His children listened. You remember Lot when he went to his son-in-law? Might as well go on back to that. I was really going to try to rush this morning. Evidently, I can't. I felt like I needed to move on a little quicker in this Proverbs. But Lot, dwelling in Sodom, the angel said to Lot, hast thou any, in Genesis 19:12, these angels said to Lot, hast thou any here besides son-in-law, thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Look at verse 14. And Lot went out. Now this reminds me, honestly, today, of the churches today,
yeah,
and their inability to reach lost people. Not necessarily the church's fault, but probably to some degree the church's fault. But even the heart today of people is so callous and so hard that they're just not open to any advice.
Right.
They said, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. and he wasn't able to reach them. He wasn't able to get them out of there. They were consumed in the fire, brimstone that God rained down from heaven, mentioned there also in Genesis chapter 19. Verse 23, it's hard to pass wisdom. I do remember one day when I went down to my grandmother's house specifically and on purpose to ask her for wisdom. Not necessarily any wisdom. I just remember going down there and saying, "Mama, may share some of your wisdom with me." And I remember her face lighting up. And she was so glad for that question, so glad for that opportunity. And I'm just trying to soak it up. And she told me a lot of great things. Things I wished I'd recorded. I wished I'd wrote it down. I really wished I'd put more effort into recording everything she said. It was amazing the wisdom she shared with me. Verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Again, Solomon's giving wisdom. That verse there, it's kind of wisdom and warning at the same time. Verse 24 will prove that, talking about warning also. But Solomon here, he says, you know, God's word is a lamp. Matter of fact, Psalm 119 talks about, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light in my path, I hide it in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Solomon's saying the same thing here. In wisdom, he's speaking. Verse 24 is the beginning of his warning. He said to keep thee. What's going to keep you? The commandment, the law, the wisdom that your mother and father give you. They're going to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. He said, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with thy eyelids." Now, I'm teaching this lesson this morning, and I actually saw this firsthand with my father. My dad worked up there at the courthouse. He was the fire marshal, and a woman did take him with her eyes. You know, if you notice, women paint their eyes. They put all kind of shade and things like that. They've got sparkles and everything else. Anyway, this woman, she did kind of bat her eyes at my dad. And I'd like to say this, my dad fell into what we're teaching about today. I observed it firsthand. I saw it from beginning to end. And it'll probably help in this lesson right here. My dad wouldn't mind me telling this at all. He'd be the first to say, "I wish y'all would listen to him. I've done been there and done that." But, you know, my dad had a loving wife. They were best parents ever to this tow-headed boy. But, you know, they were like every home. I mean, they weren't perfect. But every morning, Mom got up, she cooked breakfast. Man, I could smell that bacon frying. I could smell them taters frying. I could smell that gravy. Man, I tell you what, every morning I got up, big breakfast, nice dinner, nice supper. My dad, he went out, worked. Mom worked too. But they worked. And, you know, our home, simple home, I thought it was perfect, but there came a day, and I'd already left and married and was on my own. There came a day when my dad fell into what Solomon's talking about here. He said, "There's some things that'll keep this from happening to you, and it's the commandment." If you look, down on the wall, they're over here. If you look right here, it says, "The commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery."
Right.
Okay, my dad's a married man. He's married to my mother. And you know, he loved her. I watched him. I saw him doing things for her. I saw her doing things for him. But here, this Bible talks about an evil woman. And Dad would probably say amen to that. She took in everything he had. And I'll speak a little bit more about that in a minute. But lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by the means of a harsh woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt. or the precious wife. I actually thought of this verse as I watched my dad going through this terrible mistake, and it was. He told me, he said, I made a terrible mistake. He lived the rest of his life regretting falling into that temptation. He lived the rest of his life wishing that he had been so gullible. She made a fool out of him. She turned his good name. Dad had a good name in the community. Every time I got in trouble, they asked me, whose boy? I said, by the way, boy. He said, well, I should do it, but I'm going to let you go free for your daddy's sake. I thank the world of him. And, I got a lot of privilege just because my dad had a good name in the community. And it seemed like I could get away with murder almost because of my dad's good name. But dad's name ended up getting marred. He retired. He took his retirement money and bought a brand new bass boat. Now, my dad loved to fish. If you knew him, you'd know that's probably what he wanted more than anything. Guess who got that brand new bass boat?
She's it.
Yeah. Guess what he said about it? I'm down with her! And it didn't take no time. He's back over there. But I'll just tell you, dad was brought down just like this Bible says. Brought down to a piece of bread. He was brought down to nothing. His friends left him, made fun of him. My mother, I was there the day Dad left Mom for this woman. I stayed with Mom. I tried to comfort her. But when I walked into their house, this was going down. And I heard my mom say that. She said, Bobby, I love you. And I love you enough to even allow you to have this woman if that's what you want. Just don't leave me for her. I thought, Mom, what are you saying? But anyway, my mom loved my dad. She loved him. He loved her. It was terrible. I walked in on it, and Dad said, no, I'm leaving you for her. And Mama said, Bobby, please don't leave me. Daddy started out the door, and Mama said, Bobby, if you walk out that door, from this day on, you're going to be considered dead in my eyes. I know you no more. Dad said, see you. And I stayed there with Mama and comforted her. I saw my mama grieve. I saw my dad regret. I saw this. You know, Solomon's trying to warn people.
Yeah.
Most people, you can't warn them. Most people, they're going to find out like my dad did the hard way. He, everything mentioned right here, he did. And if he was here today, he'd say amen, son. He wouldn't deny it. I spent the rest of Dad's life. Mom passed away before Dad did. She grieved herself all the way to the grave. I spent the rest of my life trying to take care of what was left of Dad because it just concerned him. He couldn't believe himself that he had been that I would say stupid, but that naive to allow this to happen to him. I mean, he lost everything just because of a strange woman. And the woman's still alive today.
Yeah, sure she is.
Yeah. It says here, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? There's always going to be consequences. We couldn't have family reunions no more.
Yeah.
It was awkward to have any communication at all. We just tried to act like it wasn't there, and there wasn't no way to have any conversation that somehow didn't come up. It's just terrible. It caused problems to the whole family. And Solomon here trying to give wisdom, and I hate to say it today, but some people, you just can't help them. You tell them, it's not worth it. Don't do that. And God says, hey, I'm trying to help you here. And when it started out up there, my son, that right there ought to be enough.
Yeah.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
Yeah.
And he says, so is he that goeth into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. You see, people want to say, well, you know, I didn't really do anything that bad. God said you ain't innocent. And not only are you not innocent, but there are consequences. There's a price to be paid. People today, and I watch them at work and several places I've worked, they don't think twice about committing adultery. They don't think twice about sleeping with someone else's wife. Verse 29 talks about someone having an affair with his neighbor's wife. Well, you look on down here. But if he be found, well, let's start verse 30. I didn't really hit on it. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. In other words, they'll say, you know, he's just hungry. I'm going to let it go. You know, if he wasn't hungry, well, I'd go after him. But he was hungry, and I can certainly understand a man that's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery, now that verse 31 is talking about if a man steals and he's not hungry. If he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give the substance of his house. But verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound in dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You know, David tried to hide what he'd done with Bathsheba, and he did a good job. He hid it from everybody but God.
That's right.
And God, the Bible says, be sure this your son will find you out. He made sure it got brought out. Moses killed that Egyptian man. He buried him. He thought he had that all concealed up. And one of his own brethren said, are you going to kill me like you did that Egyptian yesterday? And he took off running for his life. But verse 34, for jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Look at verse 35. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou give us many gifts. Now this whole context has been about adultery. And a lot of people look at it probably the wrong way. They look at adultery like an opportunity. And I've been married to my wife 44 years. I mean every word I said when I married her. And it will be the death of us part. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of opportunities. My mother even said, if I was you, I'd leave her. And I said, Mom, I love you. That's my wife. You see, in a marriage, you have to forsake all.
Yeah.
If you're not 2-1, then you're divided. Mm-hmm. That gives plenty of room for the devil to work. My prayer last night, I want my wife here.
Yes.
I could make her come here. It'd be the worst mistake ever.
Yes,
I want her to be here of her own accord. I want her to know her place is here. But God's got to do it. I'm praying that it'll be.
That's right.
And it's not something I enjoy her not being here. I want her here. But my mom said, if I was you, I'd leave her. Well, mine wasn't married, but she didn't know what my wife putting up with. You know what I mean? Mama seen her son as, you know, her son. You know, I couldn't do no wrong in Mama's eyes. But I told my mom, I said, Mom, that's my wife. And, you know, I forsook all for her. Our children have grown and gone. Nobody but me and her and the dogs. And anyway, I'd rather not tell it here right now. We took the dog and get a haircut this week. That little one thinks I saved its life. It never had a haircut before. I took that little dog to the canine clinics, and I mean, it went in like this right here. I drug it in. The big dog walked right in there, you know. And it ain't that big. It's just about maybe 10 pounds. But the little one, it went in all 4 feet, scooting, you know, no way. When I come back to get it, it jumped up my lap, and my wife said it cries, and I leave. Now it thinks I'm the hero. But anyway, see if I can get back to where I was here. People look at opportunity of adultery, and I'm sure the devil does a good job.
Yeah.
And he said, nobody will ever know. And God never sanctioned adultery. That's a simple commandment.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, when a man does follow through and commit adultery, not only are there consequences, but the whole family, I'm praying for a man right now that his wife committed adultery on him. And I've prayed earnestly for this man. And he's still with his wife. That somehow that can be healed. But it's such a deep wound. It's really hard. It messes everything up. But what I was saying a while ago is I had a lot of opportunities. I had a lot of women. I ain't that good looking. But I can't believe God would find a woman that would marry me or put up with me. But they said, you know, if can't really be specific here, but if you ever change your mind, you know, here I am. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's nothing but of the devil. But a lot of men will look at that and they'll say, you know, why not? And the devil says, yeah. And then the aftermath of that is, why did I? And you know, the devil said, yeah, why did you? I just want you to know, there's a reason God put that commandment there. God doesn't want men to commit adultery. God wants men to be faithful to their wife. He wants women to be faithful to their husbands. God wants to bless the marriage. You know, our last lesson was let your fountain be blessed. God wants the blessing on your marriage. And you know, you can have God's blessing on your marriage. And one of these days, I don't know if I'll go first or my wife will go first. But if my wife wants to pass away before I do, I could probably consider marrying again. I don't think I'm going to. Good Lord, after putting up with a woman that long, I don't believe I can do it again. But anyway, she put up with me. And if something happened to me, I guess she'd say, I'm done with men. Woo, serving my time. But God says, don't commit adultery. Solomon says, look, don't do it. He said, it'll burn. You know, it's at verse 28. He said, you'll be, or verse 27, you'll be burned. And you can't, and I guess nowadays they figure out some way to walk on hot coals and the feet not be burned. I always thought about that when I read that verse 28. But you're not going to be innocent. You know, you're going to wish that you could get out of this nightmare. You know, that you could just erase it. God's bottom line on adultery, don't do it. Don't do it to the wife. Don't do it to the husband. It'll keep God's blessings from being upon you. It'll catch up with you. It'll cause you to sleep. I remember someone was talking about a man that had committed adultery on his wife and wasn't sleeping. He was calling this a woman he committed adultery with name out in his sleep. And his wife said, who is that? And he got big and red-faced. But you know, it's kind of like that. It just haunts you. It won't go away. And this lesson here, even right now, in this area of people committing adultery, and there's a price. It's a terrible price. Like I said, I seen this firsthand with my own dad. And if dad was here, he'd say, son, can I speak? And I'd say, yeah, dad, go ahead. He'd say, I've been there, done that, don't do it. It affected everyone in our family. Not just me, mom, and dad, but all of our kin. It was a ripple effect. You throw a rock in a creek and it starts out and it just keeps going, little ripples behind the big ripple, and it went all the way down. And even this day, everybody's still awkward about that. God says, don't do it. Let's move on to chapter 7. He says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Now that's ought to be normal. That ought to be standard. That ought to be common for all Christians. And sadly it's not. He said, keep my commandments and live. That's kind of strange, ain't it? Keep my commandments and live. I see people all the time want to live. They'll go to doctors. They'll suffer procedures. They'll take pills. Because they want to live. God said, just keep my commandments and live.
That's right.
That's pretty simple, ain't it? Yeah. Matter of fact, that sounds a whole lot less painful than the other. But we all want to live. And somebody said, I don't want to live. And really, they're just making a statement. It's not a truth. And you know, when it comes down time to die, they'll cry out, go get the preacher, go get the doctor, go find somebody to help me. You know, it's just words. They're empty words. But God says, keep my commandments and live. With that thought in mind, even the saved children of God, I know I'm saved, know I'm going to heaven, all that right there, but even the saved children of God, Paul, writing to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 6, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's two verses right there that he's talking to a church in Rome. Said, don't live a life of sin. God says, keep my commandments and live. And my law as the apple of thine eye. God says, keep his word, keep his law. Verse 3, he says, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tablet of thy heart. Mm-hmm. David, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'll tell you right now, we need more of the word of God than we even realize. And God's, you know, God's got this man here, Solomon, this wise man, he's writing to other people. And he writes down about God's word. He said, keep it. He said, and you'll live. Keep God's law as an apple of your eye. It'll keep you out of trouble. Verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. You know, wisdom would help a lot of people. Some people, just they're just not open to wisdom. I've tried to give my son wisdom. He's just not open to it. I still offer it. Try to give my daughter wisdom. It's not, well, my daughter would probably receive it. But right now, in the state of mind she's in, she can't. But she probably would listen to some degree, or at least say she would anyway. Verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Again, he's back on this subject of what we just talked about in Proverbs chapter 6. From the stranger which flattereth with her words. This is terrible. And it'll end up terrible at the end. He says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. In other words, he didn't do what those first three verses says. He's just going the way of the world. He's walking according to the course of this world. Passing through the street near her corner. What do you think about when you think about near her corner? I mean, it goes on today. You see these prostitutes, and they've got their place, and they stay right there, and it's sad. It's a sad commentary on our country and on any country that young girls do this. But he said here, she's at her corner. He's passing through the street and he's coming near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the dark, or in the black and in the dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attar, or the clothes, the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. And she's going to try to seduce him. Now, I've watched a lot of young girls today, and a lot of them have these attributes right here. She's loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. I wouldn't want my daughter to have any of those attributes. I even keep a close eye on my granddaughter. I told her to stay humble. And I said, honey, you don't have to be in no hurry. Just take your time about growing up. One of the worst things you can do growing up is make a mistake.
Right.
And have to live with it the rest of your life. I've tried to give her wisdom and counsel. But the Bible talks about this woman here. She's loud. She's stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's a rebel. Now she's without. That means she's wanting things. Now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She's like a spider looking for a prey. And verse 13, so she called him. Boy, that's good preaching text right there. In her web, and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. She's meeting him under certain terms. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm glad I found you. I've been looking for you all my life. And I'm just trying not to preach this teach. But she says, and I found thee. She said, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and with carved works and with fine linen of Egypt. She said, everything's ready, buddy. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. In other words, how convenient this is going to be. We got the whole house to ourselves. Now in this day and time, and even in my day and time, there was a lot of partying. And it might have seemed innocent, and yet it wasn't. And a lot of people got hurt. A lot of people have done things that they later probably regretted. Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of like that a long time ago. She said everything's ready. All you got to do is commit. And if you do commit, well, we're gonna have a big time. We're going to have a wonderful time. And verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Now, the Bible talks about not letting a woman take you with her eyelids in Proverbs 6:25. And talked about wisdom would keep you from a flattery of a tongue of a strange woman, verse 23. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. You know, I can just see this young girl and this young guy's face. And not only does she want his attention, but she wants him to notice how beautiful she is and how this is something that he doesn't need to refuse or deny. It's something that he needs to agree with. And she forced him. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway. I can see that moment of consent. Yeah, let's do this, or all right. And the rest of this is not good. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a foal to the correction of the stocks. Verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that it was for his life. In other words, you just don't see it coming. I remember my pastor telling this story one time about a businessman that had to go to this certain place for a meeting. And while he was there, he thought, probably be all right, nobody's around. And he picked up a woman on the streets and took her to the hotel room with him. And the next morning, he got up and thought his, I guess, survivor or whatever, and went in the bathroom in there and wrote on the mirror of the bathroom with red lipstick, it said, welcome to the wild, wonderful world of AIDS. Mm. You see, that verse right there, there are consequences. And, the bird wants the food, it goes to the snare, knows not it's for its life. It says, till a dart strikes through his liver. You just don't count the cost. You don't consider about this thing being found out. You don't consider about, what all it could bring as far as grief and price and all of that. And I've heard of people being blackmailed and everything else. Just do what God says. Don't commit adultery. He says, hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Again, this is Solomon speaking with wisdom. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. You see, it ain't funny in the end, and it ain't pleasure in the end. It's punishment, it's suffering.
Right.
But men, look here. Where is it at here? As an ox go to the slaughter. You know, the ox don't know that they're going to butcher it. And it goes in there thinking, I'm fixing to have me some good alfalfa hay or some corn or something like that right there. And he goes right in there. And this time it ain't alfalfa and it ain't corn. This time it's a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way man is when he doesn't observe God's warnings, God's wisdom. And when he doesn't give heed to God's word, he falls just like this man right here. He falls a prey. He falls wounded. And he falls all the way down. Verse 26. She has cast down many wounded. He's never the same. He lives the rest of his life to regret this act of stupidity. And no one is immune to her. Many strong men have been slain by her. My pastor shared with me. Several great men of God all have a mighty have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give the earnest heed. Left a faithful wife. Played a fool. Ran off. I was praying for a man last night that I personally knew. Left his wife, two sons, left Peggy, Caleb, went out and played the fool. Mm. I prayed for him last night. God helped him come to himself, helped him to come back. Mm. Prayed for another, both of these men, preachers. Prayed for another man that doesn't live far from here at all. Played the fool. Left Tanya, Tyler, I can't remember his daughter's name, that they'd come to himself, come back. So many fools. This lesson, they didn't heed. And they end up being a fool. And then they can't come to terms with what they've done, and they just keep running and denying any help from God. She's cast down many strong men. Just recently, my pastor shared with me a man that he and I both know. I couldn't believe it. I mean, a great work of God. I could call his name. Y'all probably know him. But for love's sake, I won't mention his name. But I couldn't believe it. I said, Rick, you're kidding me. I heard this man preach. I felt God in his preaching in a mighty way. I mean, boy, just tore my heart out. I said, you're kidding me, Brother Rick. He said, I don't think he's even preaching now. Or these warnings right here. Many strong men. Bible says be strong in the Lord and power in his might. And having done all, stand therewith. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Many strong men have been slain by her. The devil knows what to use. The woman may not understand what Satan's doing. The man may not necessarily see this as it truly is. Solomon here tries to put it in perspective. If anybody ought to know this, Solomon ought to know this. But anyway, we'll stop right there. Many strong men have been slain by her. We'll stop right there. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That seems kind of good.